Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Thank you, Art. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when the Apostle Paul was speaking or writing to the church at Corinth, and he was describing the gospel that he had preached to them, he spoke of Christ arising from the resurrection, and he began to speak of the witnesses that saw him. And then he says in verse 8, "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Now, false preachers cannot in any way refute the victorious Redeemer whom we worship. They can't in any way refute the fact that he has accomplished the will of God, redeemed his people from all iniquity, that he's risen, reigning, ruling in the hearts of his people right now, in the midst of his church. And because they can't refute Christ and what he accomplished victoriously, they take it out on Christ's preachers. And they often try to malign Christ's preachers. And that's what had happened with false preachers at Corinth. They had spread rumors that Paul was not an apostle, so they could undermine the gospel that he preached. Now, Paul goes on here to show that he was an apostle. He began to speak here saying he was an apostle. There was no difference between him and the other apostles, with this exception. They were called when Christ walked this earth. Paul was called after Christ was resurrected and ascended. But he was an apostle nonetheless, just like they were, because he was called directly by Christ. And as Paul is speaking on this, he attributed everything about himself and his work to the grace of God. He said everything about himself and everything about the work he had done was all by God's grace. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. Every true believer is what he is by the grace of God, and therefore we give God all the glory for what we are. A true believer, we are what we are by God's grace, and therefore we give God the glory for making us what we are. It's all by grace. Our subject is by the grace of God. And I want to show you how believers think of ourselves by His grace. And then I want to show you who we glorify for our salvation by His grace. And if we have time, we'll see who we glorify for the works that we do. First of all, by God's grace, true believers see ourselves as we really are. This is solely by the grace of God. We see ourselves as we really are. In verse 9, Paul said, "I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet, I'm not fit, I'm not worthy to even be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, whenever God reveals our sins to us, He humbles the believer. When He makes you to see your sin, makes you see what you are, He humbles the believer. Paul says, "I'm the least of all apostles. So much so, I'm not even fit to be called an apostle." That doesn't sound like a man who's that argument you would use to prove to fellows that were saying you were not an apostle, does it? God's ways are not our ways. And when He makes a man honest about who he is, that man will be honest by God's grace. "I'm the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle." Paul didn't know anything of this thing that men in our day are calling progressive sanctification. Now, in our day, I've heard men who have reformed themselves speak of getting more and more control over their sin and getting more and more and more holy. Is that your experience? As a child of God, saved by God's grace, is that really your experience? It's not mine. It's not mine at all. Paul was a man speaking by the grace of God. And he spoke worse and worse of himself as God grew him to see Christ more and more. Let me show you this. Here he says, I'm the least of the apostles. Just the apostles. I'm the least of the apostles. Look at Ephesians 3:8. Ephesians 3:8. This is a little later. Ephesians 3:8, he writes this. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. I'm less than the least of all saints. Not just the apostles now. He says, now I'm telling you, I'm the least of all the saints. And then go to 1 Timothy 1:15. And look here, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is when Paul is an aged believer. He's old now. He's not far from departing from this life. And he says here, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Do you see that progression? First it was, I'm the least of the apostles. Then it was, I'm the least of the least of all saints. And then towards the end, it is, I am the very chief of sinners. Now that's growing in grace. That's growing in grace. The reason is, he saw his sin. He said, I persecuted the church of God. And that wasn't the only sin he saw about himself to make him grow in grace and see himself more and more in need of Christ. But that's an example. He said, I'm not fit to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church. He says, I'm not fit to be called apostle because while these other apostles were striving to glorify Christ and edify His people, I was striving to speak against Christ blasphemously and to do injury and persecute His church. Paul, when he was arrested, he was on his way with letters to take God's people and bind them and cast them into prison. And he was there, you remember, when they stoned Stephen. He held Stephen's coat while they stoned Stephen. But what I'm getting at is, when God begins a work of grace, the first thing He does is He's going to give that sinner a true estimation of himself. He's going to make you see your sin. And all you are is sin. In your thoughts, in your words, and in your deeds. You know, when an unregenerate sinner hears the gospel, you know why they hate our gospel? Because they don't see their sin. That's the number one reason. They don't see their sin. They don't know what they are. So a man sits and hears the gospel, and where you hear of God's sovereign electing grace, you rejoice because you know if God hadn't chosen me freely by grace, there was no way He would have seen anything in me worth choosing. No other way He would have chosen me. If it wasn't by grace, He would have not chosen me. But a sinner who doesn't know what he is hears that, and he thinks that's not fair because I deserve to be chosen. Sin won't let him see we don't deserve anything. You take a sinner who hears about the particular redeeming grace that Christ accomplished for His particular people. You who know your sin rejoice because you see there's no way you could have established the law. There's no way you could justify yourself. There's no way you could do that. A sinner hears it and hates it because they think they can work out a righteousness. They don't need Christ to do it all. And when they hear of the irresistible converting grace of God, you rejoice in it because you know if God hadn't drawn me, I'd have never come to Him. If He hadn't given me life, I wouldn't have life. If He hadn't given me faith and repentance, I wouldn't have repented and come to Him. But the sinner hears that, who doesn't know he's a sinner, and he thinks, I've got the ability to come to Christ when I want to. Why tell me I can't? You see, it's sin that makes a man not come to Christ. That's what Christ was getting at when he said to the Pharisees, I didn't come to call the righteous. Folks who think they really are righteous, I didn't come to call you. I came to call those who've been made to know they're really sinners. Really sinners. You won't find an objection from a sinner. Not a real sinner. Only a righteous man will object to the gospel. A man who thinks he's righteous. But when God begins this work of grace, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to give that sinner a true estimation of himself. He's going to make us know the truth about ourselves. That there is none righteous, no, not one. And that there's none that understandeth, and none that seeketh after God. That we've all gone away backwards and become totally, altogether unprofitable. There's none that even does good, not one. And when he makes you to hear that scripture, he makes you say, that's me. I'm the greatest. I'm the worst of the bunch. And the more he makes you see Christ and the light in Christ and all the perfection of Christ and all he is for his people, the more you see the sinfulness of your own self. You want to see a crooked stick, lay a straight one down beside it. And when God makes you see Christ, that's when you see how crooked you really are. If you stood in a condemned building, it's about 4 o'clock in the morning and it's still dark out, you stand in a condemned building. As it begins to break day and the dawn and just the first little hint of light, you're going to start to see some defects in that building. But the more that light shines, and the more that light shines, the more you're going to see this building is totally condemned. That's what I'm saying. When at first he gives you the light of Christ, you see I'm a sinner. I'm the least of all the apostles. He gives you a little more light, you see I'm the least of all saints. He gives you a little more light of Christ, you say I'm the chief of sinners. That's growing in grace and knowledge of Christ. That's true growth. Growing with God, growing up with God is growing down in the estimation of ourselves and growing to see how much we need Christ for all aspects of our salvation. And that's what he is. He is the Savior of his people. So then, let's go to this second thing. First of all, we see and acknowledge our sin and our ruin by the grace of God. That's what a believer sees about himself. Now, secondly, by God's grace, we give God all glory for saving us by his grace. By his grace, we're made to give all the glory to God for saving us by his grace. He says there in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul attributes all that he is to the grace of God. And so does every true believer. This is our doctrine. This is our experience. And this is what we acknowledge. This is our doctrine. This is our gospel. By the grace of God, I am what I am. This is our gospel. And this is our experience. God makes you to experience it. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And God makes you acknowledge it. This is my confession. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, brethren, let me tell you something that will help you and save you some time. When men, religious folks, start talking in doctrinal Bible terms, let me tell you what you do first of all. You ask that person, define that for me. Whatever it is they're talking about, you ask them, define it for me. What does it mean? Because you'll have two people talking about grace. Most everybody in religion makes this statement, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, define that for me. Tell me what you mean by that. Tell me what you mean by that. They define grace as being merited, as God seeing something worthy in me to save me. That's why he showed me grace. That's not grace. They speak of God's grace as being toward all sinners. That's not the grace of God spoken of in the Scriptures, not according to the Scriptures. They speak of God's grace is being unable to get the job done. That's not the grace spoken of in the Scriptures. Not at all. The grace of God that's spoken of in this word is God sovereignly, freely bestowing salvation on whom he will, not based on any good or evil in the recipient ever. Look at Romans 9 with me. Romans chapter 9. Look here with me now. Romans 9:10. He says, when Rebekah had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. How in the world could God love Jacob? How could he love Jacob? I know how he could hate Esau. How could he love Jacob? Jacob was no different than Esau. God knows everything. God knows. God said, I looked down to see if there was any righteous, and there was none. But by God showing this was done in the womb, when neither had done any good or evil, he's showing you what the purpose of God according to election is. What is election? What's God's electing grace? What's his purpose by electing a people unto salvation? It's so that it will not be of works, but of God that calls. We can't glory in it, can we? I had nothing to do with it. God chose me simply because he would. Not by works, not by good or evil, just because he would. That's grace. Read on down the page. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is that not fair? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. But Paul's point right here is election. His point right here is, why did God elect a people by grace? Why did he do it that way? Not based on any good or evil in us. So that it wouldn't be of him that, it wouldn't be of man's will and man's running and man's doing. It would be of God's calling. God showing mercy to whom God would show mercy. That's the reason. And salvation by the grace of God is totally contrary, totally incompatible with works. They're exclusive. Look over at Romans 11:6. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Your works and mine have no part in salvation whatsoever. Not any, preacher. Not any. Not if it's by grace. If it's by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. The moment you bring works in, it ceased to be grace. You get that? The moment works are brought in as needed for salvation, it ceases to be grace. Look there. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, works no more work. You see, you can't mix grace and works. They won't mix. They're exclusive. Works can't have grace involved or it can't be works. Grace can't have works involved or it won't be grace. You see, they just don't go together. Now, Paul says here what all true believers say about themselves. It was not because I was a Jew or a Gentile. It was not because I was educated or uneducated. It was not because who my mom and my daddy were. It was not because of anything in me, period. But by God's grace, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. We talk about sovereign grace. The Scriptures don't speak of sovereign grace specifically, but they do throughout in other terms other than the word sovereign. It speaks of that. We just read a passage that speaks of sovereign grace, God choosing whom he will. And passing by whom he will. That's sovereign grace to choose whom he will. To have mercy on whom he will. And that's righteous for God to do. God said, can I not do with mine own what I will? That's right for God to do it. We do with our own what we will. God can do with his own what he will. So that's sovereign grace, God choosing whom He will. And then we speak of free grace. That means nothing, nothing involved in our salvation comes from you and me. It's all the free gift of God, not by the works of His people. It's free grace. We didn't merit it. We didn't earn it. It's free grace. And then we talk about redeeming grace. And by redeeming grace, we say that Christ fully, freely, forever redeemed all His people from the law by one offering on the cross. He fully, freely, forever perfected His people by one offering on the cross. That's redeeming grace. We talk about preserving grace. Preserving grace is God working in His child both to do and to will of His good pleasure. It's God's will that those He loved be saved. It's God's will that those He loved continue in faith, continue glorifying Christ, continue at the feet of Christ. And God works that good pleasure in His people and makes them willing to persevere. The only way we persevere in faith is because God preserves us. That's preserving grace. And then we have resurrecting grace. One day, we're going to see how helpless we are to do all the rest of this. Because there's no way I'm going to be able to bring my dead body out of that grave. There's no way I'm going to be able to raise my spirit to God. But Christ is that resurrection. And in Him, we're going to rise. Our body, soul, and spirit will be with Him forever. That's resurrecting grace. Beginning to end, salvation is by grace. Now, what is a believer by the grace of God? He says there, by the grace of God I am what I am. So what am I by the grace of God? What are you by the grace of God? Well, let me show you according to the Scriptures. First of all, in 2 Timothy 1:9, we're told this. By the grace of God. Now, if you're a believer, by God's grace, and you can say amen to this message, then you can say with me, by the grace of God, I am one saved and called by God from eternity according to God's purpose. That's what I am by God's grace. I'm one that He called and saved from eternity by His purpose. Look here, 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's what I am, a child saved from eternity by His grace. By the grace of God, I'm one that was separated and called by God in His time, just like Paul was. Paul said in Galatians 1:15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, By His grace. And then by the grace of God, I'm a recipient of Christ's fullness and grace. Could you try to calculate that? Christ's fullness and Christ's grace. Listen to this. 1 John 1:16 says, of His fullness have all we received and grace for grace. We received His fullness and grace from Christ. All from Christ. That's what I am, recipient of all fullness and grace from Christ. Reckon it'll ever run out? All fullness and all grace from Christ? Never. By the grace of God, I'm justified freely through redemption that Christ accomplished for all God's elect. He said in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That's what I am. By the grace of God, I'm justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. By grace, I have freedom from the law and forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7 said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. By the grace of God, I'm one over whom sin will never reign because I'm under grace. He said in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. It's starting to look good to be saved by grace, isn't it? These are sure things. That's what God said. It's the promise is by faith to the end that it might be sure to them that are saved by grace. These are sure things we're talking about here. He, Paul didn't say, I might be this by grace. He said, I am what I am by grace. Listen to this. By the grace of God, I'm a sinner saved apart from any works of old covenant law, period. Look at Acts 15:11. Acts 15:11. Peter was standing there and those fellows were saying that the Gentile believers, they had to be circumcised and come back under the law. Remember that? And Peter is a Jew. And he's standing there and he's pointing at those Gentile believers and he's speaking to his fellow Jews. He's speaking to Gentile believers who were never under the old covenant law, ever. They were not under it. And now they've been redeemed from the curse. And this is what Peter said about those Gentile believers, about his Jewish brethren and those Gentile believers. Look at this. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we Jews shall be saved even as they Gentiles. They never had the law. They were never under the law. How in the world am I ever going to be able to fulfill the righteousness of the law if I was never even under the law? And I didn't even know what the law told me. How am I going to know? How am I going to fulfill all righteousness? Well, you go home and read Romans 9. It's Romans 9, Romans 10, where Paul says, the Gentiles who didn't even seek after righteousness, they weren't even seeking after righteousness, they've attained to the righteousness of God. But those in Israel who were trying to attain to the righteousness of God, trying to obey the law in every jot and tittle, they didn't attain it. Why? Because the Jews sought it by the works of the law. The Gentiles sought it by faith, by God's grace. That's how. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision's of the heart, it's of God, that God might get all the praise and all the glory. That's how a Gentile who never was under the law fulfills the righteousness of the law, is through faith in Christ. That's what he was saying. We believe that we, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we Jews shall be saved just like those Gentiles, apart from the works of the law, by the grace of God in Christ. Now, by the grace of God, I'm a possessor of all Christ's unsearchable riches. He said in 2 Corinthians 8:9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty you might be made rich. Unsearchable riches. Every now and then I'm on this... back when we were looking for a building, I got on this website they would send me notices of houses that's going to be auctioned off. And they just sent me one this week. I sent it to my mom and dad and said, here's your house you'd buy up here and move right up here with us. This thing had so many gables in so many directions and I think it was like 16,000 or 17,000 square feet. And I'm thinking, that's nothing compared to what God's people have. The unsearchable riches of Christ by grace, freely given, freely bestowed on whom God will bestow it. And by the grace of God, I have everlasting consolation and good hope. In 2 Thessalonians 2:16, he said, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. I have a consolation and a good hope that's everlasting. It'll never be altered as long as I go through this life because it's all by God's grace. As bad as things may get, as bad as my health may get, as bad as my family may get, as bad as no matter what God puts in my way, by His grace, I'm going to have this consolation. I have an eternal inheritance with God. I have the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm saved, freely justified, freely redeemed by God, by His grace, through Christ's blood. And I've got a good hope. This will never change. This is not just, oh, I hope this comes to pass. This is a hope that is certain. It's sure. And God is going to see to it by His grace that we never lose that consolation and that good hope. And in the end, he said, you'll never be ashamed for trusting Christ. You're going to, that consolation, that hope is going to one day be made a reality by the grace of God. And by God's grace, I'm accepted in Christ Jesus the Lord with all His chosen, redeemed, regenerate people. He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. By grace. Isn't grace good? Grace, that's the only way you want to be saved, is by grace. By the grace of God. Sovereign grace. Free grace. Saving grace. Unchanging, unalterable grace. That's how we want to be saved. That's the only peace and the only joy you'll ever have in religion. Ever. Is to be fully persuaded that even though in myself I'm nothing, I can do nothing, I can present nothing to God, I can do nothing that's going to make God look upon me with any favor whatsoever. I can't do a thing to merit salvation. Yet, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I tell you what now, if you merited salvation, there may come a day when you do something to disqualify yourself for that salvation. But if our salvation is all by God's grace, not any good or evil in us, not by anything we've done, simply by His will and His good pleasure. God who is immutable, God who cannot change, God who sent His Son to die for those He chose by His grace, that God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. No matter what I do, no matter how, what happens to me, He's going to bring me down, show me I'm nothing, show me Christ is my all, and bring me back to rest in this grace in Christ my Lord. Now that's just so. Tell you what I'm going to do. I want to spend a little more time on the third point, because it's something, it deals with our works in this world. And I want to spend some more time on it, so I'm going to stop here. And we'll take it up Sunday morning. That way I can work on it a little bit more, because it's something that's needful in our day. I don't want to rush over it. So let's stand together and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank You that we have such rest in Christ and such peace, knowing that it is by Your grace alone that we're saved. Lord, it's just amazing that you chose anybody, let alone us, and showed us this. This is joy. This is the joy and the happiness of the heart that never changes, that never alters. And Lord, it's because You, by grace, chose to give it to us so freely, so sovereignly. Father, make Your people hear this. And rest here knowing this unchanging sovereign grace by which we're saved. And Lord, if it's Your will, exercise this grace now upon one of those lost sheep that You've chosen. Make them see it. Make them know it. Make them understand that we are what we are by Your grace alone, by Christ alone, by His blood shed on behalf of those You chose by grace. And Father, as we go forward, as Brother Art asked you before, we ask you again now, make us witnesses. Work in us this grace and make us witnesses. Make us speak of Christ and of Your grace. Do it in a way that's seasoned with grace, and do it in a way that we might not be any more offensive than the gospel already is to the flesh. And Lord, bless it by Your word. Bless it by Your grace and make Your people hear it. We don't want to do this for our sake. We want to do it for Your glory. We don't do this to brag on us. We want to do it to brag on You. And Lord, make us to do so. Forgive us now our sins, and forgive us for thinking that we're something when we're nobody. Forgive us for thinking that we have something and acting like we didn't receive everything. When that's the truth, we received everything from You by grace. These are the sins we need to be forgiven of, Lord. Pride,
pride, that thing you hate. Lord, forgive us for Christ's sake, by His blood, by Your grace. We ask it in His precious name, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.